I'd like to read this morning from Matthew, the first chapter in the 18th verse. Brother Phillips is not feeling well this morning. And if we could just take a moment, everybody just reach back and put their hand towards Brother Phillips. We're going to pray for Brother Phillips. Lord Jesus, we ask you right now. Lord, your word says, by your stripes we are healed. So, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now that you would reach down and you would work a miracle in Brother Phillips' life, that you would touch him, that you would give him strength, that you would take away the pain. Lord, that you would touch his blood levels, oh God, that whatever's wrong, that you would make it right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. It says in Matthew 1 and 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And when Joseph, her husband, being a just man, everybody say just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. You may be seated this morning. The Christmas story is, you can't help but get excited about the Christmas story, about the birth of Jesus Christ and the birth of God being manifested in the flesh on this earth. There's just something nostalgic about it. There's something that we get excited about. It doesn't matter how many times we've heard the story, we can hear it one more time. It doesn't matter how many times that we've seen a Christmas play, we can do it one more time. It doesn't matter how many times the church down the street has a nativity scene and somebody stands outside in the freezing cold, we can take the kids to it one more time. There's just something about this time of year that is just awesome. And to me, one of the most interesting parts of the story is how God chose the people, the characters that were supposed to be a part of this story. There are stories in the Bible that men were chosen because of their stature. They were chosen because of talents. They might have been chosen because of abilities. There were places that God needed a man, that it didn't matter who the man was, that he would use that man at that moment in time. But when we talk about the parents of Jesus Christ, it wasn't just anybody that he picked. He didn't walk down and just everybody take a number and they see who wins the lotto that day. It wasn't just finding out, you know, who was the best looking, who had the best genes, who had the best family, who could give the best life, who was going to have the most money, who was going to be able to supply every need and make life as comfortable as possible for Jesus. When the parents of Jesus Christ were chosen, they were not chosen by stature. They were not chosen by looks. They were not chosen by the things that they had. They were not chosen by the abilities that they had. They were not chosen by how much money was in the bank or how nice their home was or the things that they could do or the potential that they had in business. They were chosen because of their character. They were chosen because of who they were. When it's all said and done, all you really have when everything is taken away from you is you. The very essence of who you are. The very being of who you are and what you are. And in the Bible times, when two people begin to get married, they first became engaged. This could happen at any time. This could happen when they were 8 years old. Two parents, two different families that liked each other, they could have their children become engaged. An engagement could last for years. I'm glad it doesn't work that way now. I knew some cute girls when I was 8 years old, and by the time I was 18, it was a different story. And so it could last as long as they needed it to last. And then after they were engaged, they began to be betrothed. There was a betrothal, and as they were betrothed together, and this would last for a year. They called each other husband and wife, but they did not live together. They had they were still separate, but it was a year of a really serious engagement. The only way that this could be broken was by divorce. And in the Bible, there had to be reason for divorce. So when Mary had just spent 3 months with her cousins, and she comes running in, and her cousin Elizabeth had looked at her and said that thou art blessed and highly favored. When she knew that she had heard from God, when she knew that she had a word from God, when she knew that God was doing something supernatural in her life, and she comes back after 3 months of being with her cousin, and here she is. She comes in to meet Joseph, and I imagine there were some nerves there, but it was a word from God. She knew that she heard from God. She'd seen an angel. It had been confirmed by her cousin who prophesied over her and told her things to come and what God was going to do through this child. How could someone else not be excited about what God was doing in her life? And when she sits down with the man that she was going to, that she had planned to spend the rest of her life with, and she began to explain to him that she was pregnant, things got a little different. Now, I read a story the other day in the news that there was a little girl that was pregnant, and her mom, she told her mom that there's no way that she could be pregnant, and her mom believes that it is just like Jesus, at a immaculate conception. And so I imagine there are some moms that could possibly even want to believe that that's what it could be. But there aren't too many men that I know that you could convince of an immaculate conception. I don't think that a man that is in fixing to be married to a woman and finds out that she's pregnant and he knows for sure that it's not his child, this is a deal breaker. This is, I'm sorry, but we can't. I had some big plans, but the plans are annulled. The plans are over. And I'm sorry, but I'm finished here. I'm done. I'm done with this. We're talking about something serious. We're talking about because it would have been considered adultery at that time because they were betrothed together. It was already that serious between them that the act of someone becoming pregnant in the middle of an engagement would have been adultery. In Moses' law, that woman could be stoned to death because of what had happened. And so we find here Joseph standing here looking at the situation. Here he is with this woman that he loves, this woman that he cares about, this woman that he planned on spending the rest of his life with, pregnant. And it's not his child. Now imagine that if something like that happened to some of us, that there could be definite responses that would be expected. There would be anger. There would be frustration. There would be maybe even a fit of violence for a few moments. And it would be something that would be drastic. It would be something that is life-changing. It's something that would wreck every plan that you had. And here Joseph is hearing from her that she is having a child, and he knows that this child is not his. Before he ever heard from God, the scripture says that he desired to put her away quietly. It called him a just man. He could have had her destroyed. He could have had her stoned. He could have had her cut away from everyone and just discarded like trash. But the scripture says a specific word that we read this morning that called him a just man. When you look that up in the Greek, the word there is equitable. Equitable in character and in act. It talks about someone that is innocent and holy. Someone that is righteous. A just man. I know people that have of good character. I know of people that are honored. A lot of times we can confuse honor and character, that somebody that is in a high place, somebody that has accomplished something, somebody that has done well for themselves, and we can give them honor. But honor is fragile. Honor is something that is about what others think about us. Honor is what others may perceive that we are and who we are and what we are. That honor is what others may see when they see us, but character is who we truly are. Character is what we are. Character is what we are when we go home at night and we shut the door and nobody else is around. That is who we are. Character is when times are bad and everything is falling out from under us. Our response is who we are. Character is when times are great and there's money in the bank and everything is good and we don't need God for anything at that moment. Character is who we are when we don't need God and if we stay faithful and we stay true and who we are when nobody else will ever find out what's going on. That's true character. Something that is character cannot be inherited and it cannot be bought. There is something significant about character. It is something that is not just inhabited over one day or one moment. It is something that is created over a lifetime. It is constantly trying to become what we need to be. We were at Chuck E. Cheese Friday night, and my son was had this deal where they shot water at ducks and ran them through holes. And he ran out of tokens, and he looked around, and there was some kids playing on the machine next to him, and they had a bucket full of tokens. And so my 2.5-year-old boy mosey on over, and I'm sitting there just watching him. And he looks around like he's not doing anything and acts interested in the game that's going on that they're playing. And eventually he looks up, and the boys are quite a bit bigger than him. And he's just kind of minding his business, and he just reaches in and sneaks one of their tokens and turns back around and goes back to his machine and sticks it in the game, and he's back to shooting ducks again. And there are things that don't have to be taught. They're just, they're there. And I thought to myself, Lord Jesus, I've got some work to do. And I got a little thief on my hands. He's going to be in juvie in the next 2 years. And so I went and paid the little guy his token back. And he knew it was gone. He was eyeballing that little boy. And I was glad nothing escalated, because I don't think my son would have stood a chance against him. God is more concerned about your character than he is your talents, your ability, your finances, your looks, and your education. Character trumps it all. There's a difference between just having character and godly character. I've met Muslims that had good character. Just because that they're faithful to your wife, just because that you don't steal money from somebody, just because that you show up to work and you're faithful to your job and that you put in good hours, that doesn't mean that we have good godly character. There's a difference between just having character and having godly character, having a righteousness. Righteousness is something that is literally the character of God, that we allow his character to become a part of us. That looking at somebody and saying they're a man of good character, there's something more about having good, godly character. And when God began to choose somebody that he wanted to use, he didn't look for somebody that was just out there. He didn't look for somebody with ability and talent and somebody that had it all together. He looked for somebody that was of good character, that the Bible called a just man. As you read the word of God, a just man is not just something that is thrown out there. It is not just a term that we use. Oh, he's a good old boy. He's a nice guy. We like him. It's something that the Bible withheld for certain men throughout the Bible. That there are certain people that when it begins to talk and it begins to discuss them, that a just man is brought up. That there's something powerful about God looking at that person, even in their fault, even in their weaknesses, even some of them that hadn't come directly into what it was that God wanted for them, some that struggled, the Bible still called them a just man. Proverbs 9 and says, give instruction to the wise and he will yet be wiser. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. Fear the Lord. Fear, they said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and the knowledge of holy understanding. There's something about having a respect for God, a deep respect for God, that there are things that I don't do because of my respect for Him. There are things that I refuse, places I refuse to go because of my respect for Him. That there are things that nobody says that anybody in this room has to be this way or that way. That the world that we live in now, that marriage vows don't really seem like they're that big of a deal anymore. We're married, but I've got things that I'm expected to do, but if I don't do them, it doesn't seem like that big of a deal. Working secular jobs, meeting men, that it was no big deal that they had not been faithful to their wives, and that there's nothing making you do it. There's no governing body that's going to put you in prison for something like that. But there's something about it that you have a respect for the woman that you love, that you say, that's something that you don't do. That's some place that I will never go. That's some place that I will not allow to be a part of my life. There's something about it, that respect that you have, that there's something there that you don't want to draw and put a wedge in between you and that relationship, that there's a healthy respect and that there's something there that you desire and you want more. It's got to be the same way with our relationship with God, that there are places I don't go because I don't want to hurt Him. There are things that I don't do because I don't want to mess up this relationship. There are things that I don't want to allow to be a part of my life because I don't want it to interfere with my walk with God. That there are things that there's got to be a healthy respect. A just man will increase in his learning. That there's something about having a fear and understanding. It's the understanding in the beginning of wisdom. That a just man walketh in his integrity. That there's something about a just man that has integrity. That he understands that, you know what, you can trust me. That there's going to be an integrity here. That I'm going to be a man or a woman of integrity. Ezekiel says, but if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right. That a just man is somebody that also upholds the law. That he does what's lawful and right. That he's trying to get everything to where it needs to be. The Bible calls Noah a just man in Genesis 6 and 9. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, imperfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God. Whew. Wouldn't that be awesome that when the day that you pass away and men begin to stand around you and they come to your wake and they stand around and talk, that one of the words that they use for you is that you walked with God. Oh, they had a great family. They had a crowd of people. They were successful in business. All that's great. That's awesome. But he walked with God. That's a compliment. That's powerful. That's something that can be said at the end of your life. That wow, that's amazing. That a just man. He strived to have a relationship with God. John the Baptist in Mark 6 and 20 says, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and holy. That there's something about living at a higher level than everybody else. In the world that we live in, we want to, if we can blend in and look like everybody else, and we can have a church that everybody's completely comfortable in, and there's nothing going on that's causing anybody to try to raise their level to be any more like Christ, then no. The scripture says that John was a just man and he was holy. That there was something about him, the way that he carried himself, the way that he lived. That holiness is not just a look, but it's something that is on the inside of us. That it is something that is a part of our character. That when we can bring the hammer down on somebody, there's something about us that we don't. That when we can issue instruction and we can cut someone, that we don't. That when we can do whatever we want and nobody else is around and we're on a cruise out in the middle of the Caribbean and there isn't a soul in sight, that you know that. That when you pass by the bar and you look at it, or you're sitting out by the pool and you realize, you know what? This isn't where I need to be. This isn't what I need to. There's something more about just the way it looks and acts. It's who I am when nobody else is around. It's my character. Simeon was a man. The scripture calls him Luke 2:25 that says that he was a devout man, that he was somebody that he was faithful. And it says in the man, it says whose name was Simeon, and the same man was a just and devout man. That he was faithful. He was a just man and he was faithful. That you could count on him to be there. That God told him that he was going to see the Messiah, and that man showed up every day waiting for the Messiah. He was sensitive to God, that he had a relationship with God in such a way that God could speak to him, and that he knew, you know what? I want to be there. I'm going to see the Messiah. And when he saw it, he threw his hands in the air and said, now I can die because the scripture has been fulfilled. The word that was spoken to me has been fulfilled. But he was there every day. He was faithful. He was sitting in the same place waiting for that moment in time. There's something about being faithful that God can trust, that God can trust us with what he's given us, that it doesn't matter what's going on, that God knows exactly where we're going to be. He knows exactly the attitude that we're going to have. He knows exactly what's going to be going on in our world because he knows that the pattern of life that we've created to this moment is faithful, and that the pattern of life that's going to go on from this point on is going to be faithful. Acts 10:22 says, and they said, Cornelius the centurion was a just man, one that feareth God and of a good report among all the nations of the Jews. A just man. He wasn't a Jew. And the scripture calls him a just man. But there was something inside of him that was hungry for more of God. There's something about having Christian character that says that I'm not satisfied with the relationship with God that I have right now. That the Bible said he was a good man. He paid his tithes. He did everything he was supposed to do. He treated his men good. Everything that he did was good. He was a just man, the scripture says. But a just man, there's something inside of him that was hungry for more than what he had. There was something inside of him that would drive him to his knees and say, God, I've experienced you to one level, but I desire to have you more in another level. I've been to church and I felt your presence, but God, I want more of you. I'm not satisfied with the relationship that I have. God, if there is something more out there than what I have right now, I want it. It was these prayers of a just man, a man of good, godly character that drove him to a place of hunger that, God, if there's more of you, I want it. I want it. And God sent an angel and spoke to him and said, go and find Peter and do whatever he tells you to do. It was that hunger that drove him to that place that when Peter walked into his house, he said, well, if there's more of God, I want it. It was that hunger in that just man that when he lifted his hands in the air and he repented of his sins, that God filled him full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. It was a character that was hungry for God in his life. It was a character for saying, God, whatever it is that's out there, if there's more of you, I want it. Pilate's wife looked at Pilate and said, this is a just man. A just man. There's something about the things that we've read about the men in the Bible, and then it also uses the same words to describe Jesus Christ. That there's got to be something inside of us that longs and desires to have good character. God, I want to be like you. I want to walk like you. I want to talk like you. I want to think like you. I want to respond like you. I want your character in my life. Joseph of Arimathea, the scripture calls him in Luke 23:50. It says that he was a counselor and that he was a good man. This is the man that was afraid. He was afraid of the people. He was afraid that if they found out that he knew Jesus, the scripture calls him in one place a disciple of Jesus, but from afar, because he was afraid of the Israelites. But there was something inside of this man. There was something inside of him that even though that he was a good man, that even though that he was faithful to his job and faithful to everything that was going on, he understood that he wasn't everything that he could be. He understood that when Jesus was crucified, it was Joseph of Arimathea that went and begged for the body of Jesus. Even though before that he was afraid, even though he didn't want to be seen with Jesus, even though he enjoyed the benefits of it but didn't want to be associated with him, there was something inside of him that says, I've got to go further than where I am right now. Hebrews 10 and 38 says, now the just shall live by faith. That if I'm going to be a just man, I've got to have faith. That when I come to this place and I begin to pray, I've got to believe that my God is going to hear my prayers. That when I get on my knees and I begin to pray for my boy when he's sick, that I believe that my God hears my prayers. That when we begin to pray for each other, that when we begin to pray for somebody that's sick in this church, that we believe, you know what, I've got a God in heaven. I'm going to live by faith. Proverbs 24 and 16 says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Does that mean that, what are you saying? That a just man is somebody that makes a mistake, but when they've made a mistake, they get back up and they go and they find an altar one more time. A just man doesn't mean that you're perfect. A just man doesn't mean that you have it all together. A just man doesn't mean that everything is where it needs to be and that you walk on clouds. A just man means that you're somebody that if you do make a mistake, that you're willing to pick yourself back up one more time and come to an altar and say, Jesus, I'm sorry. God, I stumbled, I messed up, I fell on my face. I can't even bring you a good excuse for why I did it. I can't even explain why I did what I did, but God, I'm sorry. And the scripture says that a man that is willing to get back up from a mistake is a just man. A just man. I don't have it all together. God says, get back up again. We'll work on it. My character's not what it needs to be. That's all right. Get back up again. We're working on it. See, what you've got to understand is that you are in a process. It's a marathon. It's not a race. And when you stumble and fall, I've got to get back up again. We're still working on it. I'm a whole lot better off today than I was the day that I came to an altar. I got to get back up again. We're still working on it. I've got to get back up one more time. We're still working on it. Satan says, look what you did. You say, you don't understand. My pattern says, I'm getting back up again. And I'm going to run. Hey, look at the mistake you made. You don't understand. I'm getting back up again. And I'm going to run one more time. Hey, you're messed up. You've got problems. Oh, you don't understand. My Bible says that even a just man falls, but he gets back up. My prayer today is, God, I want to be somebody that you can use for the glory of your kingdom. When he went out and looked for somebody that he could use, somebody that he could trust, it wasn't upon the promise that they made that day. It wasn't upon where they were at that moment. It wasn't upon the abilities of their financial things. It wasn't upon all that they had or the future that they could supply. It was upon the pattern of the life that they had displayed into that moment. There's something powerful about somebody that God can look at their past and say, I can trust them with their future. I've met people that their talents can take them to places that their character could not keep them. That their abilities could take them to places that their character could not keep them in that place. There's something awesome about being a just man. You don't have all the money in the world. It's all right. I'm not striving to be the richest man. I'm striving to be a just man. You don't have everything figured out. You've got things in your life that aren't where they need to be. I understand that, but we're working on it. I'm striving to be a just man. I'm getting back up again, and I'm going to run the race one more time. You've got problems in areas in your attitude and the things you say. I understand that. I understand I've got a problem, but you know what? I'm working on it. I'm working on it. I'm headed in the right direction. I've got something. I want to be what God wants me to be. And when God sat down and he began to choose people that were going to be a part of this awesome Christmas story, he chose a man that was just. A man that there was something inside of him that was hungry for God. A man that even though that this was not the future that he desired, he had plans. He had things that he wanted. He had a business. He had all of the things that he desired. And all of a sudden, all of this was messed up. And when he found out what God wanted for his life, we never read of him saying no. We never read of him treating Jesus any differently. In fact, when Jesus would come home, the people wouldn't even know that he wasn't even Joseph's son. They would say, "Isn't this the son of Joseph the carpenter?" A man that even though this might not have been the path that he wanted to walk, when he found out what God wanted for his life, said, "God, I want what you want. I want to be what you want me to be. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be the person that you desire for me to be." Lord Jesus, at this time of year, here we are and we're hustling and bustling and we're getting stuff together and we're getting ready for a celebration and we're finding out what cousins and nieces and grandkids and children want and we're getting ready to buy gifts and we're getting ready to, for this and that. We've got parties and we're having fun and we're getting decorated and dressing up and everything. And but God, at this time of year, God, that we could stop for one moment in time and remember that all of this was made possible because you could find two people that were just, two people that you could give the future of an entire world to and that you could trust them because of their character and because of who they were, because of their past, because of the pattern of life that they had created unto this point, that you could trust them with the future of something awesome and beautiful. God, that could be our prayer, God, that we could create a life, that if our life hasn't been that up to this point, God, that we could begin to make up our minds that, you know what, Lord Jesus, I want to be a person of good character. I want to be a person of good godly character. I want to be a person that's hungry for you. I want to be a person that's striving after you. I want to be a person like some of the men that were mentioned that we talked about today, that they were just men, that there was something about them that took them to another level, that separated them from everybody else, that put them in a place that they could be trusted by you. And Noah walked with God. Was he perfect? No. Did we find him drunk? Yes. Did he ever doubt? I'm sure that he did. But when God looked back in time and he penned and began to write about what he wanted to say about Noah, he said he was a man that walked with me. A man that fell and got back up again. A man that stumbled and got back up again. A man that lived and worked on jobs that everything around him looked like it was falling apart, but somewhere he found a way to make up his mind, I'm going to keep living for God. Hallelujah. I want to use Joseph. Why do you want to use Joseph? Because he's a just man. And there are people in this church that he wants to use. He's got big plans for our lives and your lives in this church. You know what? I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be a person that can be trusted by him. I'm going to be a person that is dressed. I'm not just going to be a person that everybody can see what's good on the outside. I'm not going to be a person that has the honor and, oh, look what they've done. Look what's going on. No, I'm going to be a person that's got good character on the inside. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to have good church. We're about to come in here and we're going to have some awesome service. We're going to be preaching about God's not afraid of your mess today. And we're going to have a little bit of church in here. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back in here and have church in Jesus' name.